Can I make a prediction here?
Yes.
She hates the occult because he loves it so much that he neglected her when she was a little kid.
Do you remember that from when I talked about it?
No, I'm totally speculating. Is that true? Please tell me it's correct.
I said it last week on Primetime Geek.
Oh my god, I'm so good. It's amazing.
Song Blue Bird from the anime Bakuman by Kobukuro. This is Chiaki with the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, and this is episode 57.
57?
57?
It's over 56.
Six. It's over 56!
Appropriate since we are meeting Chris Sabat
this weekend. Can't wait. As you can hear, we have a full crew with us today. We have all the hosts. Introduce yourself, guys.
Hi, I'm Kimiko, as per usual.
Hi, I'm Hatake, as per usual.
Screw you!
We really do have a full round table today, literally. There's five of us, and my cat is sitting in the sixth seat.
That's actually a metaphor.
So he'll add his input from time to time, you know. And my name's Mitsuki, you guys already know that.
And when Mitsuki says the five of us, we have a special guest.
Oh, you're all looking at me. Oh, hey, how you all doing? Sorry, I was playing my PSP. No, I'm lying.
No,
I'm just
he wasn't.
I'm just trying to recover myself because I'm failing. Are you lying
to our listeners?
No, I told them the truth. I said I'm trying to recover myself.
Okay. All right.
PSP bit was a lie, though, unless you're doing it in your head.
I have a PSP in my pocket. You want
in your head. Do you have one in your head?
Do
you have one in your head?
I don't want to.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Okay, before we start pulling things out of pockets, find us at aaapodcast.com, iTunes, Facebook, the addnetwork.net and nerdnexus.com. And of course, as mentioned before, we have Jan Turla, or the Alpha Jan, as he is known on our forums, from consolealliance.net. Tell us who you are and what Console Alliance
does. Alright, I am, my pen name is the Alpha Jan, and what I do on consolealliance.net is provide you with as much news and information about upcoming video games or anything in the video game industry. Just all the weird, crazy stuff that's happening in the industry. Like all the stuff that happened at the Tokyo Game Show just recently.
Awesome.
Oh, so tonight's topic's perfect for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not like he requested it or anything.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Did I request it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's why it's such a good topic.
Go along with that, yeah.
Yes.
No, you really did.
I'm sure I did.
Sorry we erased your memory.
New forum.
Goodbye.
New forum members, we have Echo, the Black Mage.
Woo-hoo.
That's a sweet name.
I do like that name.
Echo the Black Mage. I should have made that my name in Final Fantasy XIV, which, by the way, we couldn't get into
Lindblum
because it's so full that it's closed. So we joined Palamecia.
We did.
So you should come on Palamecia and play with me and Roko.
Yes, and I will be on there soon, I think. I don't know. We'll find out. Stay tuned. So, also regarding forum members, we have a birthday!
Yeah, we do!
Yay!
Happy excited.
Happy birthday to our resident maple syrup drinker, Canada man.
I love maple syrup.
I do too.
Real maple syrup, though. None of that fake bullshit Hungry Jack.
Well, he is from Canada. I imagine he has the real stuff.
Hey, Canada man, Shiaki likes Hungry Jack. She won't drink the real 100% stuff, I'm telling you.
I can't believe that.
I will have it.
Isn't that
I
ridiculous?
Just like Hungry Jack. I'm not exclusive.
I love my water.
I like Mrs. Butterworth.
Yes.
That's not real either.
Pure maple syrup is delicious.
Wait. You're not allowed to drink that. You're on P90X.
We haven't had any maple syrup in quite a long time.
LOL.
It's awesome. A-okay because I cheated yesterday.
We had maple syrup and we went home to my house.
Yeah. It was There's delicious. No not having maple syrup when your mother makes pancakes, though. Good. That was a cheat day of all cheat days.
So happy birthday, Canada Man.
We love you.
And he's also our top blogger. So the AAA blogs are still going great. Check it out and check out Canon Man's posts. Wish him happy birthday.
I actually had a couple emails earlier in the week talking about how much people enjoyed the blog. So
yeah.
It's all thanks to you guys. And
I told them to come on the forum and talk to the actual bloggers about it. But we'll see if that actually happens.
What are you talking about? The only person I see on the blog is Canada Man. Canada Man. Canada Man. Scroll
Canada
down.
Canada Man
more,
I think, our number one poster right now. I mean, I have seen a few others from like Romance Sword and things like that, but Canada Man's our number one poster, so you guys better stop slacking. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Especially if they get sponsored. Canada Man might get paid.
Mama Chiaki is going to drop the hammer.
Mama Chiaki is going to drop the hammer. Speaking of dropping the hammer, episode 148 and 149 of Primetime Geek has been released. I don't know what that has to do with dropping a hammer other than the fact that Mitsugi and I were on the show.
That's why it's a hammer.
Because this is not the hammer.
EXPCon, hence why we were talking about meeting Chris Sabat, is coming up. We are going to be at the con. They have said that we have a table... We haven't really gotten in contact with them, so I wish I could give you guys more information, but just stick to the website, and we'll update as we know it on our site. And, finally, myself, Hatsuke, and Kimiko all got into the EXPCon Idol.
Represent!
So we will all be singing anime ballads of wonderment and joy and happiness and
But
so
if you
on. Want
to find out which pieces of music, you have to actually come and show up.
Technically, it's called Miki's Magical Musical Extravaganza, I believe. So,
and it's on Saturday at 10 a.m. if you're thinking of coming out. Tony!
Tony, come see us.
Oh, boy.
Coming up, we have Danny Ride at EXPCon.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. There's a question mark at the end of that.
Yeah, because he might get a job at GameStop, which is awesome.
It is cool.
Shaki will tell you all about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's October 10th at EXP. October 17th. Felix Abuerne from Primetime Geek, who is awesome for anyone who tuned into live show. They've already heard his silky smooth voice. He will be joining us.
Silky smooth indeed.
And the 24th, Tom Kroom from Asabi Anime and GreenMustard.com will be joining us on the show. And also on the 24th, I think I'm going on to the Gundam show. That's still tentative, but that should be out. So this episode, we will have a little chat with The Jam. We're going to take the jam, and we're going to put him in a jar, and make...
A jar of jam.
Jam.
Say that 20 times back.
Jam revolution.
Yes. Then...
In a world.
We are going to talk about his topic that he requested, anime influence in video games, or vice versa. Followed by some reviews from the last season. Mitsugi is going to cover giant killing. And I'm going to cover Occult Academy, which I'm very excited about.
You are excited. You won't shut up about it.
I like it.
Maybe now we get the review, we can... I'm just kidding.
Mister, he's so mean to me. Why?
I had to lay down the pimp hand.
Okay.
All right. His tentacles are coming out. Everyone watch out.
All right. I'm fucking cover. Receding.
So, Jan, come in to sit down in the hot seat.
This is where you plug.
Yeah.
Okay, this is where the lights go out and the... Light bulb was shined at my head?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, we'll hold the
Where were you last summer on the 17th of June?
Hatsuke and I do good cop, bad cop.
Oh, really? One of you guys going to like slap me around and one of you is going to be all nice?
Dude, there are some fanboys that are going to kill you.
I know. Oh, by the way, I just want to say this. To the suspicious red lamp, I am merely like 2 feet away from Hatsuke.
You make me sound like a goddess, jeez.
I'm touching her right now.
Oh,
she let me touch her shoulder.
It feels kind of good.
I'm groping her. Yeah, you almost missed it.
Whoa, that was a grope.
Can you do that again?
No pictures. You have to pay money for that stuff.
Yeah, there you go. She's helping you out there, TSRL.
Anonymous on Cosplay Deviants, apparently. So, that's not what we're talking about, though. Jazz, where are you from? What do you do?
Oh, dear God.
Let us know. Fill us in.
Why should we love you?
Why should we love you? Go.
Oh.
You have 1 minute.
Okay, my name is the Alpha Jan. I am from the space coast of Florida, where the rockets launch in the sonic...
Oh, I'm from the space coast, too.
Oh, that's sweet.
Okay, sorry, go on.
All right, I'm from the space coast, where the rocket launches, and the sonic booms blind and... Well, it shouldn't blind,
I was gonna say.
Deafen.
Yeah, that's right, deafen. Sorry, brain fart. Been awake for a very long time. And what I do is, I just, like I said, I find news, all the information, I... Sometimes do reviews and interviews with other video game companies and podcasts and stuff like that.
Cool.
Awesome. Uh-huh. So you work for Console Alliance.
.net.
.net. What is Console Alliance? Let's say I have never even heard of it. How will you explain Console Alliance to me?
Console Alliance in general was a site that was made by my boss, Isaac Wells. And what it is a forum in the community that wants to disprove all the negative myths of video games, like video games cause violence, or video games make you stupid, or video games make guys stay at home and masturbate more, or something like that. Aha! Made him laugh. Mission accomplished.
It's like, I don't know about guys, but if you're talking about girls...
You're funny.
I am funny. I am funny.
Yeah, great. Way to give the fandom fuel.
So how does it do that? Does it have, like, articles, or are there forums, or
scientific
do they do
experiments?
What he said?
Don't let them know about the scientific experiments, dude. Wait a minute.
You guys have, like, a whole basement full of children tied up so you can bring them up one at a time and test to make sure to see if video games make them violent.
Dude, they're from Thailand. Don't worry, it's safe.
I'm blowing the lid wide open on this.
No one loves them anyway. No, I'm not even gonna go there.
No, we're just kidding on that.
Rewind, delete.
No, don't. Leave it in. Anyways.
Oh gosh.
Anyway, what we do is we do reviews with, like we said, we do reviews with everyone. We have a forum, so you can join that and talk to everyone else that loves video games as much as we can. We do skits. That's our big one right there. We do a lot of film skits.
Kind of like YouTube stuff?
Yeah. Our biggest one is DLC, downloadable content.
Okay.
And the skits are pretty much funny parodies of video games. Scenes from video games.
Okay.
Like, the most popular one on DLC Zero, the first one, would probably be Snake Do, where they show that...
Yep.
Hey, someone watched it here.
Yay! Okay. Isaac told me about it, so...
So anyways, what it is like, I'll put a synopsis on it. Snake has taken down the Metal Gears, and now everyone is hiring him to promote everything, and he's promoting Mountain Dew. And he's like, Mountain Dew, I'm holding in a poo. Mountain Dew, it's the color of turtles. It's like multiple curves because he keeps screwing up.
That's funny.
There's one where he's actually, like, tasting it. He spits, oh, that's disgusting. And the next one, he chucks it all down. It's like, Snake, you drank the prop. There's only one? Stuff like that. So that's what we do. Actually, at EXPCon, we're going to premiere episode 2. And there's...
Is that going to be at, like, a panel, or...?
It's going to be at the panels. Yeah, we have three panels.
What are your panels at EXPCon?
They're the same thing. It's going to be Council Alliance presenting the DLC, as well as my take on it, talk about news and what to do and why I do what I do.
Do the do.
There you go.
So, speaking of yourself and Council Alliance, what do you do when you're not in the con scene?
When I'm not in the con scene? Well, yeah. Also keep the video game reviews alive on the board, so I have to play a lot of games.
You poor
sounds tough thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's tough life, terrible.
Yeah, it's a hard knock life.
Do you notice how you have to sometimes watch poor animes just for
I
your
I thought you were
going to
say porn.
So did I.
Well, sometimes
you mean like
you know what you sometimes watch
you mean like
porn
all the time
fans,
when we watch poor animes
for your
like,
fans?
Like this new season that's starting?
Of your fans.
Poor animes? Hey, that's why you guys have your rated R
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Delicious.
Which we haven't done in a while, sorry.
Mm-hmm. So how'd you get started with Console Alliance? How'd you get involved with them? And could someone else get involved who might be listening, who's interested and likes what they see at the website?
Well, I'm directly involved with ConsoleAlliance.net, which is Console Alliance News. And I'm pretty much the only writer on it as of now, because everyone else is too busy or they have some other stuff to do.
Slackers.
Yeah, slackers. Especially all the other bloggers on AAA blogs that is not Canada Man.
Oh, ouch. Oh,
Canada Man. There nice
segue.
Mm-hmm. And don't worry, we're not going to delete this part out, too. Anyways, I was actually working on another website called Ice Powered, a.k.a. Intense Christian Entertainment. And I was a blogger there. And I was...
Did you find out that God hates nerds? Is that what happened?
God totally hates nerds.
You sure?
No. No. God loves us.
It's the Westboro Baptist protesting
Jesus
it.
Jesus
yeah.
loves me.
Okay.
Sorry. I remember that, and Jesus I saw that and it made me laugh.
Yeah.
I made sure to go back and watch them over and over again and be like, wow, God is laughing.
Just ignore us, please.
I started that.
Do
as
I
my
need
fault.
To put you in your corners again?
Yes, Mommy. Ma'am.
Go stand in the corner like in the Blair Witch Project.
Yes, sir.
Hiss, you're never around when I need you.
Alright, continue, Jan. So.
Right.
I am now at the table with the female versions of Tweedledum and Tweedledummer.
Tweedle Smart and Tweedle Smarter. Okay, thanks.
I are smarter.
Well, he did say you were the female version, so inherently...
We're obviously smarter.
By opposite, it has to happen now.
Right? That's right, Big B and Evil Jeff there.
Well, I'm evil, so I guess I can't.
So she's Big B? Way to go.
Derp Halo is derp.
Moving on.
Oh yeah, moving on. This is just taking longer than it seems. So I got I was talking to Isaac about it that you know I'm not really keeping up with it because there's just you know everyone is arguing, all the bloggers are leaving the site, and I just couldn't keep up with it. Or it was pretty much free enterprise on what you want to write.
Yeah.
So you could either jump from books or... And I like a little bit more organization. So I, you know, left just so I could get some other stuff done. I also told Isaac about it. And he said, you know what? I'm starting a new news site. Would you like to be a blogger there? And I'm like, sure, why not? What is there any preferences I have to do? And he said, video games. And it just ran through, and that's where I started with him. ConsoleLines.net opened up in April of this year, and it's gotten huge.
That's
awesome.
So it's relatively new then.
Yeah, we are relatively new. We got recognized by IGN.
Cool.
Very nice.
That is awesome, because I did an article on their podcast, Girl Fight, which is, and they recognized it. I did an article on, what is her name? The Playboy Gamer. I can't remember her name off the top of my head. Jo Garcia. I did one, and she recognized it. And I also did other articles of very prominent and very important people, like this other podcast I know called Anime Addicts Anonymous.
Never heard of them.
Dude, they sound awesome.
No, they sucked. They're really overrated.
I didn't like them either.
Well, you know, 2-1.
I thought they were pretty sexy.
Man. Let's dip your hair in this tea and see if it changes colors.
What?
If you do that, I will be really upset with you.
That went a little bit random.
Sorry.
So how did you get into the anime, or rather the geek realm? I mean, I assume if someone's saying, talk about video games, you probably have played some kind of video game in the past.
My dad owned a Sega Master System and bought me a Nintendo, the original Famicom, where you had to quickly put it in there and be like, oh man, it's not working.
Yes.
There, you remember that? You have to blow into it, get your mom to blow into it, that thing?
You'd have, like, the different kinds, like the quick... And then, like, the harmonica style from, like, left to right.
That's how I did. That's how I took care of my SNES.
Yep.
It was like,
that's what I did with my Sega.
Or your N64.
Oh, by the way, I just noticed Hatake just kind of, like, shook her head and did the K-On! Head smack thing. Because I think she noticed that I said my mom is blowing onto
Oh, I didn't even pick up on that, but I would have.
Well, she's
you're slacking.
I was...
Coming from... One of the smart-assy people on the board.
Oh, Kimiko.
Oh.
So, you started anime. You started getting into the whole geek thing from a young age.
Yeah, very early.
What about anime? Was that young, too? I mean, what are some of your favorite anime?
I think I said this earlier that my blood is running a strawberry shortcake cocktail, a lucky star, the melancholy of Haru Suzumiya, and Kanagi, and I have to throw that in just to piss off Itsugi. Because he hates that anime with a vengeance.
I do hate Kanagi a lot. Yes. And Lucky Star,
like,
too.
Because I love Kyon. I have a massive crush on Kyon.
I tolerate Haru Suzumiya just because it was one of the first Moe shows before, like, the craze exploded.
That's when Moe was cool.
And I wasn't, like, sick of it yet.
That's when Moe was new.
Well, yeah. Is there anything else that you'd like us to know about you or Console Alliance? I mean, it's your spotlight, man.
It's my spotlight.
Enjoy it before it turns off.
Yeah. It turns off. I really didn't answer the anime question. My favorite anime is Rin Daughters of Nemesis.
What?
Yes, I cosplay her.
You cosplayed as Rin?
I cosplay Rin.
When?
No, I like, she, I do.
She,
well, I,
yeah, she does.
I'm starting at EXP. You'll see me there as Rin.
Oh, Fangasm.
Yeah, she's like, she's my idol. I love her.
I'm working up to a Mimi.
Like, yeah.
You're working up to a Mimi?
I need the wig.
That is fabulous. My favorite anime out of all of them. It was very sociological, and that's what I really liked about it. I mean, everyone likes see psychology in their anime. I mean, I may joke around and I may make happy-go-lucky stuff with, like, Lucky Star and all that, but I love all the sociological stuff. I went to school for it. Sociology, that's what I was aiming for. Cool. A minor in sociology and a major in endoscopy.
Oh, wow.
And I found out that no one wants to hire those because it's cheaper for the people who go for them, and people would rather point the finger than to take responsibility for themselves and stuff like that.
Yeah, wow. Well, I'm so glad to hear there's another Namasane fan.
Oh, yes, it is. I got it on Blu-ray.
Oh, how is it?
It's just as good as the... Oh, as
I really want to own it.
I have it on... I actually originally bought it on DVD. Then I saw it on Blu-ray, and I was like, I'm going to get it on Blu-ray. Now I have two copies.
I'll take one.
You want to give me one?
I am Rin.
You are Rin?
Yeah.
I'll see what I can.
So, don't go anywhere. We're going to cover anime influence video games and vice versa, as well as some reviews. But first, we're going to take a short anime news break, and we'll be back in a second.
Hey everybody, it's Mitsugi, and this is your first anime news break. So first, we're going to start off with a little news that will just tickle Chiaki to death. The November issue of Shueisha magazine is announcing that the second season of Kimi ni Todoke, the television anime series, has officially been greenlit and will air beginning in January on the NTV network in Japan. The live-action film of this series is also currently being shown in Japan to just highlight the popularity of the show. In other news, Yoshiki Hayashi, the co-founder of the band X Japan, has announced at the New York Anime Festival that he is going to be collaborating with the American comic creator Stan Lee on a music superhero comic book series. A little bit unique, that's what I think. The comic book series will be translated into various languages, including English, so stay tuned for this one if you sound interested. Hayao Miyazaki's art is being adorned on license plates. That's right, in Mitaka, a city in western Tokyo, which also is home to the Studio Ghibli Museum, the city has begun applications this month for mini bike license plates depicting the character Pokey, which is the city's mascot character, which happens to be drawn by Studio Ghibli's co-founder and award-winning director Hayao Miyazaki. The plates mark the 60th anniversary of the city that is the home for the Ghibli Museum. In a final bit of news, a woman has been arrested for uploading anime via Perfect Dark. Again, the Nikkan Sports and Nihon Keizai Shimbun newspapers have reported that the police in Japan have arrested a 42-year-old unemployed woman named Tomoko Sasaki on Friday for allegedly uploading anime online without the copyright holder's permission. This was done using the software Perfect Dark, which is a file-sharing program. Other people have been arrested as well, but Sasaki is only the third known person arrested for using Perfect Dark, which is supposedly a next-generation program that was intended to maintain its users' anonymity better than its predecessors. Doesn't seem like that's working out too well for them. So, that's it for this time, and we'll be back in a few more minutes with some more anime news.
In the summer of 2008, a man named Fightbait started an anime podcast.
I watched Grenadier because of the tits.
And it was terrible. 2 years later...
Maybe his penis is the duck. I don't know how you would put that in a woman.
Fightbait.com may still suck ass, but we're bringing you more content than ever. If you head over to the website, you can now find news, reviews, editorials, pictures of dogs, and more crappy podcasts than your ears can handle. You even have the option to subscribe to the podcast, the blog, or both. Fightbait.com, kicking ass on the internet for 2 years and counting, proving that quantity is better than quality.
Welcome back to the show from that anime news break. So for this next little section of our show, we're going to talk about anime influence in video games. And basically how the video game industry influences the anime industry and, of course, vice versa. And so, basically, to start off, how do we see anime influence in video games? I mean... There's definitely, like, actual anime video games. Like, Naruto, Bleach, yeah. Inuyasha, DBZ, Bakugan? Yeah.
And the Pokemon series.
Yeah.
There's quite a lot of, there's definitely animes that have been made into video games.
Most of them.
And there's also video games
popular,
that have... Yeah.
At least.
But there's also lots of video games that have been made into anime, also. Mm-hmm. And then there's animes that have been released simultaneously.
And there are anime
games.
About video
like
games.
Valkyria Chronicles.
Like or like
and there are video games about
Dot
anime.
Hack. Dot yeah. Hack was my specific example I have here. But I find that both are very successful. I also think that most of the video games that I find end up animes, it seems like they're almost always RPGs. And that's, in my opinion, because they're story-based. Mm-hmm. The examples I come up with off the top of my head are Dragon Quest.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Final Fantasy. Zeno Saga.
Oh.
The whole Zeno Saga got converted. But it's basically an anime already, you know?
Yeah.
For anybody who's played that game, that you know that there's like an hour cutscenes in it.
It's so, like Metal Gear Solid 4.
I haven't played that series. Can you pass through the hour cutscenes, though?
You can pass through them, but you don't. I don't think you'd want to.
I know. I understand that. Like, Metal Gear Solid 4, you couldn't pass through the artwork.
Well, you don't even understand. The cutscenes in this game make Metal Gear Solid's cutscenes look like a blink. Like, I'm talking cutscenes that are so long they have two save points in them. Like, we're talking 80 minutes of a straight cutscene.
I'm sure.
And like...
I was told.
Yeah, I mean, like, the first... Xenosaga was a game that was intended to be a six-part RPG that ended up getting cut down to three when the first one wasn't very successful. I found the story to be fantastic, but it really was like an hour cutscene followed by like 45 minutes of playing, and then another 45-minute cutscene. That's how it goes. The characters and story were great, though.
But let's not forget, like, we have, like, some good ones on, well, or at least some decent ones, like Xenosaga or Dot Hack. Let's not forget that there are a lot of crap games that get turned into anime, kind of like Shugafuku no Campanella. That was an Ergo game, and someone was like, let's take porn and turn it into, like, a regular show.
That happens a lot, though.
It does happen a lot, but it never, I mean...
Works?
Works. Because it's like, you know what makes it interesting? The porn. You know what's not interesting when you take it out? No porn.
Yeah, a lot of the, like, Air.
Yeah.
Konad. Ayori Aoshi. Those are all...
Ayurashi is not very good. I've seen it.
Well, that's fine. Those all started out as either, you know, Bishojo games or visual novels.
There's a difference, though, between Bishojo, visual novel, and Ergo.
Well, why don't you explain the difference, just for the listeners?
Well, okay, Bishojo or Bishonen, you kind of have, like, the girls and the boys versions of things. And then, you have, like, the Bishonen, like, the beautiful boys. And that's kind of, like, fluffiness in my mind that's geared to a certain sex.
My opinion of Bishojo games is that those are the porn games.
No.
No?
No?
No. Your opinion's wrong. No. Sorry.
It's Bishojo.
Google that. Okay. A lot of websites like JList,
Yeah.
We'll classify these games as Bishojo, okay. Whether you want to call them that or not.
That's just
so,
to be
so
subtle.
Bishojo can be defined as pornography, or it can be defined as something else. It's a versatile term, depending on the context, mm-hmm. I would say. But if it's in the porno sense, it is definitely the, I would say, more harem-type focused games.
I can see that.
Where there's multiple beautiful female lovers. Then, of course, there is the visual novels, which are not necessarily porn. Mm-hmm. They can be, but they're not necessarily, and the difference is that visual novels, you pretty much just click through, yeah. Whereas, like, a game, yeah. You actually can get, like, points and things.
Well, you have to say, like, 95% of visual novels are porn.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
There are a lot.
I think that Wikipedia actually summarizes Bishojo pretty good. It's not necessarily a type of game, but a characteristic mm-hmm. of games that have pretty girls in them, and those can be dating sims or not.
So kind of like a Moe mm-hmm. equivalent. Moe equivalent, but another
however,
thing like Moe.
If you think about it, pretty much every porn game has pretty girls in it, yeah. So they're all Bishojo. Unless it's a yaoi.
Wait, woman at work.
They might as well be
porn. Women at work is not a game. I hope not.
Oh, that's right.
That's what I was going to ask, though. Dating sims would be involved in this category, then.
Yes, mm-hmm. dating sims
I love
would be
dating
in this
sims.
Category. But, and then, of course, you have ergo and ecchi games, which are, like, if you get an ergo or ecchi game, you're like, hello, porn. It's not like a visual novel where you could get one and it could be not porn. It's like, if you get an ergo or ecchi game, it's like mm-hmm. porn. But basically my point is that a bishojo or ecchi or ergo, and that you transfer it to an anime, in my mind, like, I think it almost always sucks. Visual
almost
novels,
always.
There's more hope for
yeah,
them.
I'm sure that there are examples, but perhaps the majority.
Yeah.
There's also another game that I want to mention that is fantastic, that no one ever plays, that was made into an anime that wasn't so good. Zone of the Enders.
Awesome.
Was a really great game that was about 6 hours long, but for that 6 hours, it was yeah. one of the smoothest playing, most impressive games in terms of its gameplay that you ever get out of a mecha.
I was told not to watch the anime.
I watched Idolo the anime. It was an OVA. It was not that impressive.
Mm-hmm. Or Blue Dragon. That's a more recent one.
Blue Dragon was a fun RPG that I think was made into kind of a crappy or into a crappy.
Well, it was made into an anime for kids. Like the game could be enjoyed by a more versatile audience, whereas the anime, I think, was really geared to, like, mm-hmm. younger children.
Mm-hmm. So maybe it's hit or miss. I mean, some of these animes do have good games, like the Dragon Ball Z anime haven't made it into successful games. Yeah. God knows there's enough.
But are they successful because they're based off of a successful anime, or are they successful because they're a good game?
Well, they're
successful because they're based off a successful anime.
there are Dragon Ball FighterZ that I've played.
I think that starts it. But I mean, yeah. even if the anime is successful, but the game just genuinely sucks.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
the game doesn't have to be spectacular if it's based off of a successful anime. Yeah. But it has to at least have some merit.
I mean, I bought a really crappy One Piece game because it was One Piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Fullmetal yeah. Alchemist game didn't go over very well.
It was terrible.
Yes,
I had that.
The Dragon Ball series, Dragon Ball Z series, when it comes to games, the ones that are released here in the United States are really not that up to par. If you played the ones in Japan, like Legends, Dragon Ball Z Legends, I
yeah.
believe, on the mm-hmm. original PlayStation, that's an awesome PlayStation game. So.
And do you think they don't come over here just because there's a smaller fan base or saturation for
there's
anime?
There's also another big issue on why a lot of games from Japan do not come over here in the United States. It's licensing.
Right.
One of the big things, like for instance, I'll give you an example. Does anyone here ever play Tatsunoko vs. Capcom?
No.
I know what it is, but
yeah.
I've never played it.
Okay, well, in Japan, it was one of the... It was a huge game because it was Capcom characters versus Tatsunoko characters. Like, who was in it? Like, characters.
That game's out
like,
here.
Yeah, it is out, but it wasn't. It took a while to get out here,
right?
Because the licensing for Tatsunoko characters were among many different groups, and
right.
so it was really they pulled it off. They were able to come to an agreement, and that's why this game is here. But most of the times, the major reason why a lot of Japanese games don't come over here is licensing issues. Like
naturally,
like something made from, I think Tatsunoko also made a Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Hmm.
I believe they did that. They did the Karas. That one's an awesome anime.
Yes. Yeah, that one's pretty cool.
Right.
They did Yatterman series.
Okay. I can see how that could be made into a fighter.
Yeah, the Yatterman series and all that. But, you know, they're all different animes by the same company. But they're distributed among different companies here in the United States. So Capcom actually went to each and every company and struck a deal or agreement or something like that in order to get this game across.
So what kind of games do you guys think are good games to bring over, or maybe like some characteristics of games that would translate well into anime, or maybe vice versa, some anime that would translate well into games?
That's a difficult question, because
I'm having problems with that one too.
It depends on the market. I think that we can all agree that in the United States, the more popular games are the shooters.
Right.
Oh yeah.
In which case, I feel like it's a difficult task, because most animes are either based around characters or story, whereas shooters have little of either.
Mm-hmm.
First-person shooters have no character, practically. Even Halo and Gears of War, if you ever follow the GameFAQs character battles, Master Chief and whatever the guy from Gears of War is,
Marcus Phoenix,
they never make it past like the first round in these contests. Mm-hmm. Master Chief's a little bit better, but... the game is also like Gears of War. No one played that because of the story.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to. The games that do make it, like Tales of Vesperia, don't do that well. Even though there's a very loyal following like me who will always buy it.
Well, people. But, I mean, in the shooters, people get attached to the gameplay, not to the story
and the characters.
And so, if you lose the gameplay, then there's very little substance left that people would be interested in. I mean, I think Halo, honestly, not to go too far on a tangent, but I think, like, Halo would make a great movie. Or Metal Gear Solid would make a great movie.
Yes.
Because...
Only if David Hayter writes the screenplay.
Yes. Because, I mean, you have a lot of that kind of excitement and very dynamic scenes in movies. And you have the big-budget American films, but big-budget anime is getting harder to come by. And big budget in movies will go a lot farther than a big budget in anime.
I know this is kind of an off topic. It's kind of off of the conversation topic. But I honestly feel like pretty much any game that is made into a movie will fail in the United States, because nobody wants to go see a movie like
Resident Evil.
But the Resident Evil movies aren't that successful. They don't really make that much money.
Actually, they're the most successful.
Actually, they do make some money.
Hitman.
The big issue with video games to movies is how it's directed. Are you going to try to stick with the story, or are you going to go a different direction? Most of the time, if it does go a different direction, and if it's delivered correctly, then it'll actually be popular, like the Resident Evil series.
They're popular. I just feel like video game movies have a bad stigma with everybody who doesn't want to play video games.
But of course, we're not talking about movies
here. Yes,
we're
not.
Yeah.
So, let's say, hypothetically speaking, let's kind of ignore to an extent the American market, because most of the games, I think we can agree, that would be transferred into anime, or anime that would be transferred into games, are made in Japan or would be made in Japan.
Mostly JRPGs.
So, I mean, that being said, let's live in the Japanese world for a second, for the sake of the argument of discussing what kind of games or anime that we think would be make a good transition.
Oh, really cool. Konnichiwa.
What about sports anime?
Big Wind-Up.
Well, not just like Big Wind-Up, but in general, like what's the other baseball anime? Major League.
Major.
What's or Major. Major. And then there's like Hajime no Ippo.
Yeah.
That sort of style where it's based around, I know it's still character driven, but it's based around the sport.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be turned into, I know specifically in the U.S., sports video games are pretty popular.
They
right?
are. I'm not really sure how an anime-based sports game would compete with, like, Madden.
Probably not well
but,
here,
but
just in general.
I know
it could work.
Cool.
In Japan, it could be successful. I'm thinking of other examples like Initial D.
Mm.
It's an incredibly successful arcade game.
Awesome. Yeah.
But I don't know how well it would compete with Gran Turismo or Forza or the like.
Gotcha.
But,
win.
At least in Japan, they're very successful arcade games, and they're very fun.
It's also the type of gameplay they do like. Japanese love drifters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we like to make left turns.
Yeah.
So.
Another game series that I think, going from game to anime, that I think would be great would be any of the Shin Megami Tensei games.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The Persona series or Digital Devil Saga. Nocturne kind of has a loose story, but I think you could embellish a lot and really put a lot in there.
Well, you know it's already been done, right? Yeah. Persona 3 was already made into an anime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I never watched it, but...
Well, I'm just saying, like, overall, doing each of those series, like...
Yes.
Really going into them, because... They're perfect for it. I mean, they're already right. in an anime style. The concept art is already there. The character concepts are there. And they're so story-heavy that if you transferred it into an anime, you wouldn't necessarily be losing anything.
It could happen, and... oh, go ahead.
And also, the Persona series, or just Shin Megami Tensei series, has a very strong cult following here in the United States.
Right.
So yeah. It could really actually does. Do really well. I mean, I love it. I have Persona 3 Portable in my PSP right now.
A point that I wanted to make, that I was going to make later down our outline a little ways, is that I think that the Persona games are more suitable to be. They're one of the most suitable examples, in my opinion, to be made into an anime. And that is not only because they're already done in the anime style, but these games actually have elements of dating sims built into them.
Yeah,
mm-hmm, yeah,
yep.
I mean, you're basically one. Little adjustment away from being an anime that pretty much everybody who already watches anime can adapt to and enjoy. I mean, dating the girls and developing regular relationships with them just to forward your power. I mean, right. I don't know how that would translate into an anime, but I mean, crap. Those games all are they have little girls too that you can hit on, so it's already perfect.
Galgun.
That's not creepy.
That's right. Galgun was one. Announced at the Tokyo Game Show, you shoot the girls with your charm in the butt.
Yeah.
Wow.
I saw that, I was like, this is gonna make me laugh if I watch the trailer. And it did.
Disgaea would be another good...
Mm-hmm. That's an anime also.
That is it already is. Disgaea, it's, yeah. It actually just got licensed by Funimation very recently.
Yay, Funimation. So you can see
a lot of these people have... A lot of people have already had the same idea.
Yeah. But almost all these... But almost all these animes that we're mentioning are based off JRPGs.
Correct.
So yeah.
It's not just like any straight up, any video game from Japan. Like, I don't think they're going to make an anime on Galgun or... Metal Gear Solid could do it very good. That's a Japanese game, actually.
I think they'd destroy it.
Hmm?
I think they'd destroy it.
You know what I think would be awesome? God of War the anime. Please note my sarcasm.
Well, I feel like it's easier to go. It's the simple reason for there's so many JRPGs is just because in order to have an anime, you have to have storyline.
Yeah,
and it doesn't have to be that way for video games, and that's why you have games like Gundam being made into,
Dynasty Warriors
style fighters and shooting and. It's just that the video game as a medium is a lot wider and more open to different genres than anime are, because anime is just going to be story-based.
And also, like we talked about, the preferences and how the games are built from the ground up. Here in the United States, gameplay, Japan, character development, and plot.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, overall, there's a very large gap between the two markets, clearly. And that you can see in every
the U.S. and the Japanese market.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And in the games that are bought and are brought over and whatnot.
They definitely don't. The two markets definitely don't see eye to eye.
No.
But there are people like us that span both markets.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, honestly, I think you have things like Sony and the PSP, and I think it was a smart move with things like the PSP and the PS3 to make them non-region coded.
Yeah.
So if you're truly, a hardcore JRPG fan or whatever, you can download games off of their server.
I wonder if the PS3 will play my Higurashi game that I bought in Japan.
So, thank you, Alpha Jan, for this topic. It was a fun discussion to have as far as anime and video games, because I know there's a few ones that suck balls, like Orphan the video game. Not to say the anime.
I liked that game.
I liked it too. I was little, but I'm not saying the anime was glorious either, but the video game was quite terrible.
It was terrible, but I liked it.
Oh, I liked it too. Just because I say it's terrible doesn't mean I don't like it.
That's like the Gravitation English stuff.
Oh.
So, hopefully we will see more games coming over, or at least more accessible to hardcore fans like us, and... I think that is all the time we have on this subject, but don't go anywhere. We're going to have one more anime news break, and then we are going to be doing some reviews on some animes that have finished up from last season. Out with the old, in with the new. Stay tuned.
Hey everybody, this is Mitsugi again, and this is your second anime news break. First up, a little bit of anime release news. Aniplex of America announced Friday that it's going to release the Doodadada DVDs and the Reader Die, the complete series, Blu-ray box set through Bandai Entertainment and the Right Stuff's online stores. Both animes will have English dubbing and subtitles, and the pre-orders are going to begin on Friday. So, if you happen to be a fan of Doodadada or Read or Die, as I'm sure many of you are, make sure to keep your eyes out for these new releases that are coming out shortly in the future. In a bit of sad financial news, as it always seems like the financial news in the anime industry is poor, the business information firm Tokyo Shoko Research has reported Wednesday that the anime production company Future Planet Co. has filed for bankruptcy. This company was best known for producing the anime's Romance of the Three Kingdoms back in 2009. Unfortunately, the firm has about $12.3 million in debt to about 160 different creditors. This is a pretty significant amount of debt considering that it equals about one full year of fiscal income during their best year, which was in 2007, which was about a $12 million income. We'll see if this studio can recover, but for now, it doesn't look too good for those bringing us the Romance of the Three Kingdoms series. In a final bit of news, the website of the Japanese toy retail group, Takarajima Create Group, has revealed that the second season of Kami no Mi Zo Shizu Sekai, the anime, has been greenlit for broadcast, and it will be released in April of this coming year. This anime, which currently has its first season airing, is about Keima Katsuragi, who is an avid gamer known in his school as Otamega. One day he receives an email offering him a contract to capture girls. He accepts, thinking that it's a challenge, and a demon from hell named Elsie appears. She asks him for help in capturing runaway spirits that are hiding inside of real girls. So, an interesting story. Look out for the sequel in April. This has been your second anime news break, and now we're going to get back to the third segment of the show.
From the anime news break.
From the pits and the depths of hell.
What?
Yummy, yummy hell.
Where did you go during the anime news break?
The bathroom.
Apparently the bathroom is now the pit of hell.
No, that's the DMV.
Was it? Striking Thunder and Lightning in the Thunderbox.
Makes sense, right?
Oh.
So, we have come back. This is our final part of the podcast. Please don't start crying yet, because you still have a bit more. First off,
then
it's going to be...
Cry.
Yeah, then you can cry when it's actually over. First off, Mitsugi is going to review Giant Killing.
I'm going to wing it.
Take it away.
Here we go. Giant Killing is a soccer anime that came out last season, 26 episodes, directed by Yu Cole, who is a man that has done lots of directing, but has never before directed a sports anime, as I'm looking at the list here. Blood Plus, Chrono Crusade, which is not a good anime at all. Loveless.
Loveless.
Monochrome Factor and Vandred.
The only good one on there is Blood Plus.
Yeah, let's go.
So really, my point was that none of them were sports anime.
Oh.
And the storyline of Giant Killing is that there's a team that has had a long, long streak of basically losing streaks throughout the last few years. The team is called East Tokyo United, and this team is so bad that their fans have started to give up on them. They just don't really have, like, the spirit anymore.
Aww.
So they hire a man named Takeshi Tatsumi as the manager of the team to try to revive the team from its, you know, poor performance. And Tatsumi spent 3 years in England and was an accomplished amateur that played in some of the FIFA Cup tournaments. And people don't like him as a choice for as the coach because, well, he's considered a traitor by a lot of the people for leaving East Tokyo United. In the beginning of the series, he basically comes in the beginning, and there's a lot of people that basically protest the fact that he's coming in to coach the team, and they come to the practices and boo and do all this bad stuff that they shouldn't do because the team's already bad enough.
Aww.
But that's just another example of how at least the adults don't have any faith in the teams. A lot of the little kids, there's some kids in the show too that frequently come up, and they still have faith in the team, and that's always nice. But in the anime, the team is struggling in Japan's football league. And essentially what happens is that Tatsumi, through his unusual coaching style, ends up reviving this team. And at the end of the show, they essentially upset one of the favorites in the league. Now, that might seem like a simple plotline, and, well, that's because it is simple. And I'm amazed that this show is only going to be 26 episodes long, because I don't recall many sports anime being that short. Cross Game was 52 episodes. Major is 150, and it's not done yet.
Big Windup's still going on. Right?
Big Windup is still going, and it's got, what, 39 now at least?
Yeah.
Prince of Tennis is so long, I don't even want to think about it. Aishu 21 is like a never-ending show.
Hajime no
Ippo is almost 100 episodes when you combine it, and a few movies. So this is just a short show. There's only one other soccer show I've ever watched, and it was called Whistle. And honestly, it's better than this one. But there's a couple of things I want to say about sports anime, and that's that I feel like not all sports are equal when it comes to being able to convey them in terms of visual into a visual medium. The problem is that there's some sports like baseball and boxing where the action is slow enough paced and is focused on certain players where you can actually have drama, and the viewer can follow and understand what's happening. In baseball, you have kind of the cat and mouse between the pitcher and the batter, and that's why I feel like baseball anime is technically, they normally make the best shows in terms of sports. Boxing is always a one-on-one matchup, but these shows, these basketball animes, Slam Dunk, which is another 100 episode anime or something, 95 or so, these basketball animes and these soccer animes, because it's a team sport, and there's so much movement, it's very difficult to capture the sport on camera in a way that's easy to understand and is basically tasteful to the viewer. That's definitely a problem that Giant Killing suffered from. The characters in the show were another problem that I had. None of the characters in the show get any backstory at all whatsoever. You know, in a show where it essentially revolves around team, you know, the concept of having a team and team players and the players on the team, you want to have enough backstory to understand and fall in love with the characters because it's sports and there's not a lot of story going on. You know, what else do they have to latch onto? But Giant Killing, aside from Tatsumi a little bit, doesn't really give you much backstory about any of the characters at all. And there's a lot of characters that you see quite frequently. Tsubaki is one character that you see constantly, and even he doesn't get any backstory whatsoever, and that was something that really disappointed me. I was hoping that it would pick up a little bit. I guess I should say what are the good points about the show. I found the actual drama that takes place in some of the soccer matches, especially at the end, to be kind of engrossing. The last match that they play against the German coach, I can't recall the name of the team, but I think it might be Osaka. But the way that they display the match in terms of making like this grandiose comeback, I know I feel like I'm spoiling the show, but you know, it's called Giant Killing and they kind of give that away. I mean, you know, like six episodes before the end that's exactly what's going to happen, that they rise up. But the show also leaves a lot to be desired. It's this show, you want to see them take over the league and become the best and win the tournament. But in a sense, it kind of reminds me of Big Windup, the first season. that perked up Hatake and Kimiko. I know you guys know that in Big Windup, they just kind of have one match of the tournament and that's it. And you're like WTF, you know?
That was
Big Windup are... Giant Killing, they don't even have a tournament. They're just in the middle of the season. They just happen to beat one team that's good, and that's like their big upset, and that's it. See, yeah. I kind of thought...
It's a little anticlimactic.
Well, yeah, the plot line is supposed to be how this team rises up and takes down the giant, one of the Giants in the league. I guess technically they did that, but I always thought it would be like in the, like, the league championship match, you know?
Right. Something big and important.
Yeah, and you kind of get the sense that the team's going to be okay and that they're going to, you know, maybe win the league tournament. They don't really tell you that, but they do leave it very open for having a sequel. But it definitely leaves a lot to be desired in terms of how it ends. And that kind of bummed me out. The character designs and the music, in terms of the aesthetics, I thought the show was a little bit rough. The music's not good. The intro is like bagpipes and rock music. It's very weird.
That sounds awesome. I'm gonna download that.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. And the animation style was kind of so-so. I mean, it doesn't really need to be wonderful when it's a sports anime, but you know, it always helps to have things look aesthetically pleasing. So I don't really know. I imagine that this was probably one of the shows last season that no one followed like at all. You know, no one at least. Of our listener base, no one in the United States watches soccer. And amongst anime viewers, even less people watch sports. So, okay, Jam watches soccer.
Yeah, go Team Brazil.
Hey, I like soccer too. I played soccer, I watched World Cup, you know, Euro Cup, all that stuff, but
maybe if the World Cup comes by, another player's gonna do a super combo attack headbutt into another guy's chest.
Zidane. Mm-hmm. I love it. Boy, France didn't do too well this year, did they?
No, they did not.
It sucked.
You noticed the crickets over the girls' heads when we talked? Yeah, exactly.
Sports? What is sports?
I watched the World Cup.
What's offsides? Chiaki watched the World Cup. Kinda. Who won the World Cup this year? Don't let me down. Come on.
A team from a country.
Oh, no. Okay, wait a second. What continent was the team from?
Africa?
No!
Oh, wait, it was held in Africa.
It was held, in Africa. Yes, it was. Good job. That's right. Woo-hoo. Thank you, marketing campaign.
What is it? Final Jeopardy. Ooh.
Spain won the World Cup this year.
I said I watched it. I didn't say I cared.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Spain won the World Cup, and it was their first year.
Oh, it was a big deal.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
Oh, that now I remember the camera of like the streets of Barcelona and like people going like apeshit.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, so just to wrap up this review, Giant Killing is a show that I think fans of soccer can enjoy. As a sport, I watch all the sports anime. I consider myself responsible for those on this podcast. I didn't personally enjoy this anime very much. I tended to watch the episodes in big blocks because I would just not want to watch them until I was forced to, essentially. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give the show 2.5 corner kicks out of 5.
Sweet.
They don't really do many corner kicks in the show for some reason. They just go back and forth. But I really think fans of soccer can enjoy this. I don't think women especially probably won't like it. I think there's maybe one female character in the whole show, and she's like a journalist, and that's it. And
you notice that in almost any sports, anything, the one female in there is the journalist, unless it's tennis or golf.
Major
golf anime.
Major has
so boring.
Major had some romance elements, and early on in the show, there were some female characters that actually played because in that show starts out they're little kids and girls can still play. But
well, I mean, it's like you can't if the sport doesn't allow females to play, it'd be unauthentic to have females on the field.
Well, like Major has a trainer, and then there's the girlfriend, and then there's a couple, and then one of the team owners is a girl.
In a big wind-up, the coach is a girl.
It's a coach.
That's true.
Team.
It's yeah, and the manager's a girl. Wait, there are girls on that team?
It's a, no. It has to be a co-ed team because of
the coach
female.
Is a female. Yeah,
coach.
Anyway,
I was gonna say, are there traps that I missed?
There are always traps. Whether you know it or
no.
Anyway,
super punchy
stuff. Awesome.
So 2.5. That's my second 2.5 from this season, and Chiaki has a show that I think get a better score. Occult Academy.
So, Occult Academy is produced by A1 Pictures and Aniplex.
Aniplex.
It is directed by a man called Tomohiko Ito. And
what did he do? Let's see this list.
I
I'm gonna go over it.
Okay, okay, okay.
Chill your nips.
They're chill. They're on ice.
Whoa. Notable things. He directed and did storyboard for a few episodes in Death Note and was also the assistant director for the series. He did storyboard, episode director, and assistant episode director in Monster for a few episodes.
For a few episodes?
Looks like there's quite a few listed here. So.
3 episodes out of 73. Yeah, the main
director. Good try, dude. Good try.
Four episodes. The main director must have been sick.
Good game. Oh, okay.
Either way, though, those 4 episodes didn't suck.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Well, when he said 3 episodes, I was thinking maybe they were the special episodes. It was really supposed to be 70.
But the biggest thing is that he was an assistant director for The Girl Who Leapt Through Time.
Nice.
Awesome. So,
I think Major's like exploded. Major would be the Monster's the biggest anime on that list.
Well, I'm just meaning
his
in,
biggest thing.
I'm just meaning his in that thing. He was an assistant director in that one.
That's
for the movie.
Well, good for him.
Yes,
that's a good movie.
Right. Okay.
I'll write him a card.
This is his first soiree into directing, like the full Monty of directing.
That's a good movie.
And it is.
Which one?
Can I please get through my review?
The one with the Irishman?
Yeah.
Or the Englishman?
Apparently, you're not allowed.
Apparently not. So the anime is based. It's 13 episodes, and the anime is based around the Nostradamus prophecies. Specifically, the prophecy that reads, "In the year 1999 and 7 months, from the sky shall come an alarming, powerful king." And what that is based off of, is basically, you start with the end in this anime. And you start out by finding that the world has ended. And instead of being like a post-apocalyptic, what happens is there's a small resistance team. And in 7 months of the year 1999, in the past, aliens descended from the sky and set the world ablaze and ended the world.
Oh.
And this is a small human resistance team that's gone underground and created like a fortress and is sending people back to the past to find what they call the Nostradamus key. And the Nostradamus key is basically the one thing which set off the chain of events which ended the world. And what they've narrowed it down to is that the Nostradamus key has something to do with the Wallstein Academy, which is out in kind of the boondocks of Japan.
There always has to be one. So far, this plotline kind of reminds me of the movie The Terminator.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Really?
Someone like Terminator.
What has nothing to do with sci-fi, so...
It sounds awful sci-fi.
Going back in the past going back to in change time is not something sci-fi. To prevent the...
Going end. Back in time with magical runes?
That's still sci-fi, isn't it?
No!
It's a little bit more fantasy.
So they've sent now 5 people back to the past, and they get to the last one, which is Fumaki Uchida, which is basically kind of the last guy that you'd want to rest the hope of the future on. And so they send him back to the past, and this is where he meets Maya. And Maya is the daughter of the president of Wallstein Academy. And her father has died. And normally you'd think if someone's father has died that they'd be really choked up and upset about this fact. But they then discover that she's not. She gets back and she's actually kind of pissed that she has to be so inconvenienced by her father's death as to go back out to the academy. And unlike her father, she hates everything about the occult.
Wow.
And so it starts off with his funeral, and she meets Fumiaki Uchida as he comes down naked from a beam of light in the sky.
Can I make a prediction here?
Yes.
She hates the occult because he loves it so much that he neglected her when she was a little kid.
Do you remember that from when I talked about it?
No, I'm totally speculating. Is that true? Please tell me it's correct.
I said it last week on Primetime Geek.
Oh my god, I'm so good. It's amazing.
Or maybe you just remembered what she said on
My memory is poor. But I have a question.
Sure.
Why do they keep sending people back in time? Is it because they keep disappearing?
Because they keep dying.
Oh, why is that?
Because random scary things kill them before they can achieve their mission.
I don't understand. Why is that? I thought this was before the world ended.
It is before the world ended, but it is an occult academy. So you have things like Mothmen and Bigfoot and La Chupacabra and
you're in Mexico now.
So they're there are La Chupacabra in Japan apparently. In the
so summer. Are they like guarding the Nostradamus key?
Well, you don't really know what they're doing. Like, it kind of starts out as just a series of random happenings throughout the series, and to be honest, it kind of presents itself mostly as filler. They try to tie it in at the end and be like, no, it really wasn't filler kind of thing, but no, it really is presented as filler. So, but as far as filler goes, it's not boring filler. I mean, it's like, it's not like the, let's go to the bathhouse scene. Like, it's filler that's actually action-filled, and the characters are really funny. And that's the other thing, is that they really go into the backstory of each of the characters. Like, they go into the backstory of Fumiaki, or Bunmei, as he's called, kind of by his nickname. And he was basically a kid who could bend spoons with his mind. You know,
like
that
kid, like that kid in The Matrix.
Yes.
Or is it a girl? It's a girl.
There were many of them.
Yes.
Okay. It was like a whole little group of children.
A little nursery?
I didn't see The Matrix.
Or Kadabra.
Sorry.
What?
Or Kadabra.
What?
You never saw The Matrix?
No.
You knocked me for not seeing Avatar. Oh. Jeez.
Which one, though?
I've seen, like,
some
of it.
The good or the bad one?
In
the James
Avatar?
Cameron one.
I'm more surprised about The Matrix than Avatar.
Space Pocahontas one.
Oh, okay. The good one.
I saw the bad one.
So, Bunmei, you find out, in the current time of 1999, he's a kid who can bend spoons, and of course he goes on all kinds of, like, TV shows and Japanese opera and things like that, because he's this little spoon-bending kid. And you kind of learn his backstory, and his backstory is, of course, like, his mom never really saw him as a person, but more as something that she could...
make a profit
monopolize. And it's just the way it's presented, and I don't even think that's a spoiler, because when they present it, like, it tears at your heartstrings, and that's what they do for all the characters. Like, they give the appropriate amount of background story for each of the characters. Like, the two central characters, Maya and Bunmei, they, like, give you hardcore background. But Maya's friends, like Ami and Kozue, who are, like, her childhood friends or things like that, they give them enough backstory that you aren't feeling left out, but at the same time, they don't waste time on them. So the character development in the series is just really, really nice. So Maya, despite her dislike of the occult, eventually agrees to team up with Bunmei to find the Nostradamus key. And they end up researching it, and of course, like I said, some filler ensues. But it's entertaining filler, at least. Yeah. And it's not fan service. Which I want to make clear, because there are some times where there are camera shots, and instead of actually showing her panties, they do, like, the Sailor Moon shadow thing. The magic shadow.
Yes. Silhouette.
Wow. Yes. The magic shadow that always happens to start on the upper thigh. So, I mean, it's really well done, I have to say. It's just I can't get around the filler for it. The ending is good, but the ending starts to get a little cracked out. Like, one episode, it's almost like a straight-up hentai, and the next episode, it's like Magical Lyrical Nanoha fight.
So how long is this show?
This show's 13 episodes.
And it has filler?
It does, I would say.
That's a bad thing.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said, I mean, I can't get around the filler in it, even if it is amusing filler, but I was hanging on the edge of my seat for the next episode. So, I mean, technically, it has its faults, but it's still very entertaining, and I would still recommend it, and especially after the list of animes from last season, I would say it's probably one of the better ones. Mm-hmm. So I would give it 3.5 journals out of 5.
Journals?
Yes.
Journals.
That's
explain
generic.
The journals.
Because Maya's father gives her a journal in his will, and it's his journal.
And what's special about this journal? Or is that a spoiler?
That would be a spoiler.
World.
It just may.
If you wrote somebody's name in it, they die.
Yeah, that's what happened.
And that's what happened to the people that kept sending back to the past.
Death journal.
Death diary.
Death diary.
It's a miraculous notebook. Oh, wait. Let's not copy that story again.
Handy dandy notebook of death.
Handy dandy notebook.
That was a good review, Chiaki.
That Thank you.
Thanks for that. I was kind of curious about what the show was about, but you kept oohing and aahing and giggling. And
it was really engaging. Like, it was a really engaging show, and I just thought it was well done, despite the filler. I mean, that's really, like, if it didn't have filler, it would have been definitely, like, more of a 4 or 5.
Well, I want to watch it, so.
Yeah, it's good. You should.
It'll give me something to do at work.
You've intrigued me.
I mean, there are probably... Again, there are probably anime that I would put above this anime on a list if I was recommending it to someone, but I would still put this anime on the list, which is
saying something.
Exactly.
This last is something season. For an anime addict, right?
Yes.
That's right. Hi, I'm the Alpha Jin, and I am an anime addict.
Yay!
I am on the 13th step of a 12-step program. I know why I watch anime, and I agree. I should be watching more.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you again, Alpha Jan, for coming on our show.
Indeed.
We really appreciate it. It was fun to have you on this round table of various laughs and tangents
silliness
and nonsense. So, yes, once again, the Alpha Jan with ConsoleAlliance.net.
And .com. We'll throw that in there, too.
Sure.
Because my boss will get angry at me and scream on me on Skype.
Of course.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Isn't that cute?
But yeah. You can find us at aaapodcast.com. We are on Facebook, addnetwork.net, and thenerdnexus.com. And of course, iTunes, which I hope that you were listening to us through. If you are not, I highly recommend you subscribe should you have iTunes. And if not, it's a free program.
It's just convenient.
Apple. Yeah. It's just convenient to have it auto-download. So, thank you once again for joining us. Taking us out is going to be Bakurok from the anime Bakuman.
That's not heck cheesy.
Yeah. That's right. Do.